First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 3, 2021, Mark chapter 14, A Trade.
Please stand for the scripture reading today. It's found on Mark 14, 10 and 11. And the Bible says, "And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. They were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him in an opportune time." A trade. Do you, did you ever watch this program, Let's Make a Deal? People dressed up outlandishly and tried to get Monty Hall's attention and win prizes. The closest analogy in my mind I can make is the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners gave away, unknowingly, gave away baseball players. July 31, 1997, the Seattle Mariners trade pitcher Derek Lowe and catcher Jason Veritek to the Boston Red Sox for closer Heathcliff Slocum. You see, people are popular enough that they even featured in Little League. Jason Veritek, shortstop, he became a catcher, but the backbone of the Red Sox dynasty, Derek Lowe and Jason Veritek, was to be had for need. The Seattle Mariners needed a closer, and they didn't trade for very long, but they traded and lived to regret it. The setting, Judas' betrayal, is mentioned in all the Gospels. Matthew, Luke, and Mark. It stands in contrast with what we have looked at a month ago, Mary of Bethany's anointing the feet of Jesus with her tears, oil. And the contrast could not be made more clear. Judas himself initiates talks with the high priests to betray Jesus and is, let me be plain, his immediate motive was money. Judas Iscariot, his last name was a place name, man from Kerioth, Ish Kerioth, man from Kerioth, literally one of the 12. It's the only time it's so phrased. He was notorious, infamous, and it's the only time that the structure is followed. One of the 12. His character, avarice. He was greedy. The Bible goes out of his way to say Judas took money from the general offerings. Vulnerable to Satan's use. Jesus was prophesied he had to die. But, Jesus knew his life was laid about hand, and God's plan does not overlook human responsibility. Pharaoh's heart was said to be hardened, but Jesus pities Judas Iscariot. He feels sorry for them. Judas is said to go to his own place. Imagine that. Judas said to go to his own place. A room, a pit, is designed for Jesus. Judas and Judas alone. A lot of nice thoughts are associated by some for giving credit to Judas Iscariot. She forces Jesus to declare his messiahship with a special miracle. Or he was outraged at the rebuke when Mary anointed Jesus with nard. But I think this is most likely. Judas has strong, immediate political goals. Jesus failed to set up his kingdom. His kingdom was not of this world, and Judas probably viewed him as a disappointment, another prophet, another charlatan, disillusioned. Judas thought he should make the best deal he could out of a hopeless situation. Judas was disappointed, in my opinion, disappointed in Jesus. And why not make some money out of this deal? Get paid now. This was the reason. The cost of a slave gored to death by an ox. Exodus 21:32. The cost of a slave. Judas comes up with how to betray Jesus at an opportune time. So he sought how to betray him conveniently. Betray, he wanted to begin the process of committing murder He knew that the chief priests wanted nothing less than Jesus' death, and he wanted to make it convenient to wash his hands like Pontius Pilate and conveniently betray him. Why do real Christians backslide? Real Christians backslide, I have no doubt. Every time you sin, backslide, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. Inconsistency seen in other Christians, hypocrites. Be careful, stumbling block to the weak. Missing fellowship and worship with other believers. Most backsliding initially starts by missing church. Compromise with the world. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Not taking advantage of God's provisions. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If you find yourself distant from God, all of us, one way or another, reflect and find distance from God. But you, what can you do about it? Acknowledge to God our hearts are cold. Repent and return to God. Repentance means changing your mind, changing your course. The key is change. If you find yourself distance from God, your prayers are hindered. I can't explain it other than your distance from God and your hearts aren't interested in reading the scripture. That's a key. Turn to your God with a humble and contrite heart. This is the humble one I esteem. He who is humble can contrite in spirit. You don't need to confess your sins to people, but I advise it. Find someone else to be accountable to. Return to church and begin Bible study. I studied the Bible all the time, but if I only study for my messages and neglect my devotional reading of the Bible, for me, it's a formula for distance from God, and you can preach to crowds, but be distant from God because your soul is not happy in the Lord. Those who obey His commandments live in Him. The lesson is we all have feet of clay. I don't believe there's never been a Christian who has lived perfectly before God. Judas is a special case. He's called the son of perdition. He was never saved. And his life conclusion shows it. Judas and Peter have the contrast. Among the apostles, the one absolutely stunning success was Judas Iscariot. And the one thoroughly groveling failure was Peter. Judas was a success in the ways that most impress us. He was successful both financially and politically. He cleverly arranged to control the money of the apostolic band. He skillfully manipulated the political forces of the day to accomplish the goals. Peter was a failure in ways we most dread. He was impotent in crisis, socially inept. At the arrest of Jesus, he collapsed, a hapless, blustering coward. In the most critical situations of his life with Jesus, the confession on the road to Caesarea Philippi, the vision of the Mount of Transfiguration, he said embarrassing things, inappropriate things. He was not the companion you would want in time of danger. He was not the person we would feel comfortable with in social occasions. Time, of course, has reversed our judgments of the two men. Judas is now a byword for betrayer, and Peter is one of the most honored names in the church and the world. Judas is a villain, Peter a saint. Yet, the world continues to chase after the success of Judas, financial wealth, political power, and to defend himself against the failures of Peter, weakness and ineptness.